welcome back to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. Thank you for joining me again, and today I'm very excited to talk to you about something that we haven't really had the opportunity to explore together. We've talked about many, many things on this channel. We've talked about music theory, we've talked about music history, we've talked about timbre of music, we've talked about the different instruments of music, we've talked about multiple composers, I've interviewed a bunch of people, but there's one thing about music that excites me incredibly so, and I can't believe that I haven't gotten the full opportunity to talk about it, and that is film music. Film music is radically different and yet very much the same as any other genre of music. Obviously, it is music that is going to accompany a film, but what it does is something completely different than classical music. Let's begin. So before we jump off the deep end here, we should talk a little bit about what film music is and where it came from. We know that film is sort of a direct descendant of opera. We can consider opera the great-great-great-grandfather of this new form of art. And we can think that way because opera is essentially, it's theater. Opera is the great-great-grandfather of modern-day theater, and then a lot of people consider film to be maybe the cousin or the sibling to theater. So opera was, of course, masked performers or dressed up artists that were singing and employing this play on a giant theater with musical accompaniment. And they had arias, which were solo-like pieces with small musical accompaniment to grand theatric works where everyone was singing and everyone was playing. And as technology and time progressed, and more people became familiar with opera and it spread across the world, then we started to see the radio being born and music was being able to record. And then the big, big thing that changed was the invention of recording film. And of course, at first there was silent film, but as film was able to be more developed and music was going to be added, then we started to see more and more evolution of film in music. Now, originally, when there were just silent films, this was where music was a necessity. It played the role of adding literal noise to the film. Otherwise, you would watch it in complete silence, and that would just be boring. So film music actually started as a way to accompany silent films and black and white films and to help tell the story. So we classify this type of music differently. We call this narrative music. And narrative music, like the name implies, is music that helps tell a story. It is just as important as one of the actors or actresses on screen. And the music can help tell a story in multiple different ways. We're going to touch on that later. But this is different than maybe classical music or even jazz music or rock music. Because while those music still tell a story, what narrative music does is its goal is to help move one specific story along. And we're not necessarily talking about a song where someone is singing a story, like what many songs are today. This is music that is accompanying what is portrayed on film, and it's helping move this specific story along. And there's a couple different things that can happen in narrative music. Music can imply a sense of space. It can alter the perception of time. It can manipulate thoughts and feelings. It can give you references to geographic or social context clues. It can create atmosphere. It can portray emotions. You can even have music that illustrates movement. There's all sorts of things that film music can do that's different and specific. So, I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about something that was mentioned in our music theory trilogy podcast, and that is what's called a leitmotif. Now, a leitmotif is a very small, it could be 3 seconds or 3 notes, very, very small musical idea that's attached to a specific character or place or setting or any other important plot element. And remember, motif is essentially just a reoccurring theme that progresses throughout the music. So a leitmotif was really... Motif has been around for a long, long time, but Richard Wagner, a very, very, very prolific composer in the Romantic era, he composed one of the most famous operas of all time, he developed this leitmotif idea. And in film, we see it many, many times today. So if you think of, let's just talk about some of the more popular films like Star Wars. One of the most recognizable leitmotifs would be Darth Vader's theme. Just a series of several notes. Bom, 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 ba-bom, bom, ba-bom. The whole thing's over in about 5 or 6 seconds. But anytime this little theme comes on, the entire audience is immediately alerted to some sinister presence, something that's not quite right, or, in this case, Darth Vader. Now, unfortunately, I am about to spoil a film here that's about 50 years old, so if you have not yet seen Star Wars or you have an interest in the original trilogy, you can skip this next part of the podcast, but we know that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker, and in the original trilogy, as in episodes 4, 5, and 6, Darth Vader's already evil and he's helped conquer the galaxy, so this is where the original leitmotif is heavily developed, and we see lots and lots of instances of this motif happening when Darth Vader's doing something bad and evil. In the prequel trilogy, episodes 1, 2, and 3, when Anakin Skywalker is growing up, George Lucas and the composer John Williams work together and they use this leitmotif to help foreshadow Anakin Skywalker's turn to the dark side. Whenever they are working with Anakin Skywalker, and then something, he loses his patience for a little while, or he gets a little bit angry and upset. There's a shadow of this leitmotif that plays, and it's this foreboding instance of just something bad is going to happen. And then in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin goes full on evil, we see this theme played out as he marches up the steps to the Jedi Academy when his goal is to eliminate the remaining Jedi. And this is when the full motif is back, and you hear the entire theme, and you're like, oh, yep, he is now Darth Vader again. So this is one of the more important things that music can do, narrative music can do. But there are multiple. We can also talk about how music illustrates movement. In the film Baby Driver, which is perhaps a little bit too adult to some of our audience here, the first 6 minutes, the main character dances to a pre-recorded song, an old song from the 1970s or 1980s. But he matches his movements to all of the motions and to the big beats of the song. And what this does is it brings forward the audience who's just listening to the music into the film, and it puts them into the character's shoes. So this happens in multiple different instances in multiple different movies, but when the composers match up motion to the music, it connects the barrier that's sometimes seen between the film and the audience. It helps involve all the senses on the film. Now, one of the last big things I want to talk about is how music helps imply a sense of space or time. In 2010, popular movie director Christopher Nolan released his film Inception with the help of composer Hans Zimmer. And if you don't know anything about Inception, without spoiling it, it is all about how the mind can alter reality, and how if you enter a dreamlike state, if you learn to take control of your dreams, how can you alter the world around you, and how time slows down, and how all these weird, wonky things happen, and there's multiple different layers to it. So it's a very, very difficult to understand movie, but it's very, very, very excellent. Now, what Hans Zimmer does is he uses elongated, synthetic rhythms to produce a sense of timelessness. We can perceive time through a sense of rhythm and consistency. 1 second will always be 1 second, 1 minute will always be 1 minute. When composers compose music, they tend to have very rhythmic and very purposeful notations of rhythm and time. So your tempo won't necessarily alter unless there's a ritardando before a key moment. What Hans Zimmer does is he produces very long and almost unending notes. And what this does is it removes a sense of time to the listener. So we no longer have the regular pulses of quarter notes or eighth notes. We're almost trapped in this trance-like state, which helps bring us to the idea of the dream world or into this idea of uncertainty. Now, if this is fascinating to you, or if the concept of music composition is something that you're intrigued on, go back and watch one of your favorite films as a child or one of your favorite films from now, and try to listen and see if you can come up with one of the three things that we talked about today. See if there are reoccurring leitmotifs to your favorite characters, or if any time a symbol or an item appears, you hear this leitmotif. See if music can produce a sense of motion, or if the music being played is replicated on screen with specific motions. Looney Tunes, the popular cartoon series from the 1940s and 50s, was very famous for doing this. Lots of other cartoons and animated series have taken sort of a page out of that book, and they use music and sounds to replicate what's going on screen. Also take a look and see if the music portrays a sense of space or time. If you are pulled in to where the composer and where the producer and where the director want to take you without even seeing the film or without the film even starting. If the music is able to transport you to this unique location without the director even having his movie shown yet, then the composer has done his job. Thank you everybody so much for listening. I hope you really, really enjoyed. This is one of my passionate topics, one of my all-time favorites to talk about. So look forward and listen to next week's podcast, where we'll be able to dive a little bit deeper into the role of film music.